Relationships. As humans, we're hardwired for them. What would it be like to have a guide to relationships that are authentic? Tap into the collective wisdom of teachers, authors, and healers who have accumulated experience on this subject. I've learned that there are overlapping soul circles of people in our lives. Family of choice. Welcome to the family.
Welcome to It's All About Relationships. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein, and today I have an incredibly special guest who's also a Vivid Life radio host. Her name is Crystal Lee Quibel, and she's the host of Literary Speaking. And the music that ushers us into the show and leads us out of the show was created by Barry Goldstein, and he is an amazing writer, an amazing musician and producer, and the song is called Prayer of the Heart. And you can find Barry's music at www.barrygoldsteinmusic.com. So Crystal Lee is going to be talking to us about life as a prolific writer. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Well, me too. This has been a long time coming, so I'm really glad that you're here to be able to talk to a sister writer. So when did you start writing? How old were you?
Oh, my gosh. I think as soon as I learned how to write and read, I always had little short stories, and my first love was always poetry. I loved poems and writing them, you know, silly things for my parents on special occasions, things like that.
Mm-hmm. So were you encouraged as a child to write?
I think my parents are very creative as well. My mom was a registered nurse, and my dad was an engineer, but they were both extremely artistic. You know, always my mom was an amazing and still is painter and crafter, and my father, you know, does so much, you know, in terms of woodworking and things like that. So they really always encouraged all of their children, you know, myself and my five siblings, to always do art. And to get messy and be creative, we were never discouraged from, you know, following whatever we dreamt of doing.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes the creative process is messy. Is that how you find it as well? Like when you start writing, you're not sure where it's going?
Oh, absolutely. You can't have fun if it isn't a little messy. I think for me, you know, you sit down and write, and usually the first 1,000 words or so are complete crap. And but it's fun. It's fun to just get it out on the page, you know, and then stuff starts to flow, and then the good stuff comes. So you have to stick it out for at least, you know, over 1,000 words, I think. I think the first 1,000 are usually, you know, kind of stumbling. It's like the first time you have sex. You don't know what you're doing, and your limbs and arms are everywhere, and you're trying to figure it out. So it's practice.
That's a really good way to look at the writing process, like the first time you have sex. You have all these expectations of what it's supposed to be like. And sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't, sometimes it's even better than you imagine.
Exactly.
Like just like anything else, the more you practice, the better you get at it. Is that part of the writing process too? I got to remember that one. Writing is like the first time you have, writing the first draft is like the first time you have sex. Okay. So are there, you know, are there particular parts of your writing that you're really proud of? You look at that and you say, wow, look what just came through me.
Oh, yes. I mean, there's been times where I've gone over my manuscript and I've kind of questioned myself, you know, not remembering certain things I've written, but I think it's part of working with the muse and getting into the flow, and you just, it comes out of you, and it's really a lot like channeling a spirit onto the page, and you're just letting the words come to you, and there's been some small pieces that will never see the public, but I'm extremely proud of writing them and how difficult they were to write. So I think every writer kind of goes through that where there's, you know, you want to champion for it and you want to put it in your book, but it just doesn't belong. You know, it was just something for you.
Right. I was just going to ask you about that. Do you sometimes write just for your own gratification and your own healing that nobody ever sees?
Oh my gosh, every day. And I have journals. I'm a big fan of fountain pens and writing, handwriting. I love cursive, so I frequently write that way in my journal, and I just feel like I get so much out. And it does, and sometimes, you know, a piece inspires me from my journal to take it into the real world and pitch it as a freelance article or to add it into a future book. So Mm-hmm. For me, I just feel like I have to write. And when I'm not writing, right. I feel not good. I just mm-hmm. feel like something's missing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I call it, I don't get writer's block. I get writer's runs that I can't not write. And you're right. It does feel like that. For me, writing is like breathing. And the muse is like a persistent lover that won't let me sleep. So, okay, you got to write. You got to serve the muse. So I don't know if this feel like that for you sometimes as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's times where I wake up wide awake at 3 a.m. and mm-hmm. I start thinking about a piece of writing that I started, or something just comes to me, and I know if I don't get up and I don't honor what the muse is sending to me right then, I will forget. So if mm-hmm. and I'm not a morning person at all, so I will never be the person that gets up at 4 a.m. to write unless mm-hmm. something so profound comes to me that I have to get out of bed and get it down on the page. And that's sometimes when I've had the best little jags of writing, just a quick little 15-minute middle-of-the-night session kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't intentionally get up at a particular time to write, but you're right, the muse definitely wakes me up. So is writing for you about trusting intuition as well, that it comes through you, not from you?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely, because I think there are things that I've written where, you know, like I said earlier, where it feels like that wasn't me, but it is me, and I clearly mm-hmm. wrote it down. So to me, I feel like it's also broadened my perspective on intuition and following my gut. That's a big part of the story that I've written, is all about following your intuition, because you always mm-hmm. know when something's off, if you shouldn't do something. And we tend to push it down. You know, we've been taught to push that down, and we don't want to be weird or out there and say, you know, something about this just in my gut isn't feeling right. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't follow this person. I shouldn't do this or go to this workshop or whatever it may be. And so for me, I really feel like I'm communing with the muse every time I sit down, and it's really mm-hmm. a process to be honored and to be made sacred. It's not just, you know, you don't just sit down and write. There's lots of forces behind you helping you get the work out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and do you ever look at the writing and then say, okay, who wrote this? I don't remember writing this. No, so as you said, it's you
time.
And it's not you. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, I definitely get that. So I know that you have a website that people can go to and they can learn more about your work. And I'm going to spell your name, Crystal, C-R-Y-S-T-A-L, Lee, L-E-E, Quibel, Quibel.com. What will they find on your website?
On the website, I have all of my radio shows, so all of my interviews with New York Times bestselling authors, literary agents, publishers, giving tips on how to help aspiring writers. They'll find some little how-to articles, you know, when you've got writer's block or excuses people commonly use to say why they're not writing their book. Mm-hmm. And then I'll also be launching the Magical Writers Group, which will be a monthly membership program for writers to mm-hmm. come in and just be able to commune with other writers and get coaching with me every week, and they'll get guest experts coming in every month. So it should be a lot of fun. I'm really excited about it.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And, you know, we can talk more on the other side of the break about the nitty-gritty practical stuff about being a prolific writer. So folks, catch you on the other side.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
It's All About Relationships is a gathering of friends worldwide. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein. Join us each Thursday night from 8 to 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. My guests are dynamic leaders in the field of human interaction, and no topic is off the table, from sexuality to spirituality to self-love. I'm a best-selling author, speaker, therapist, interfaith minister, and optimistic who sees the world through the eyes of possibility. Visit me at opti-mystical.com.
Thank you.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
Welcome back to the next portion of It's All About Relationships. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein, and my guest is another Vivid Life Radio host, Crystal Lee Quibel, who hosts Literary Speaking. And we were, you know, I feel like we're two writers just sitting around chatting, and you said you with your bottle of water, me with my coconut water here, and just talking about something we love. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk more about the nitty-gritty stuff. So you're writing a memoir, I understand. What's the purpose of it? What's the focus of it for you?
I think originally, I had planned originally to just write a book kind of about being sort of intuitive and tapping into that. And then I went to a writing retreat and started telling my life story. And while I was telling it, they're like, are you joking? You have to write about this. Nobody has a life like that. And so that's really what got me started on it, you know, and I love memoirs. I learn so much from them. They are the new self-help, in my opinion, in that sharing our stories can heal other people, and they also heal us while we're writing. And that's really sort of what I've learned through the process, is really about writing through all the trauma I went through, and navigating it in a new way to kind of say, okay, that happened, but that's not who I am.
Right. So does it help you, does writing like that help you distance yourself from the pain to be able to look at it from an objective perspective, but as close to objectivity as possible, where you could say, okay, is this my life or somebody else's life I'm writing about?
It was fascinating for me because I also did a therapy. I had a therapist for many years to deal with the trauma from being sexually abused when I was young. And we did this MDR therapy. And so in doing that, that does help you distance it. And then I would write about it after. And years later, now when I'm doing it, what I found so fascinating about it is that I'm also trying to see into the perspective of the people around me. Because, you know, there's always three sides to every story, you know, his side, her side, and somewhere in between is the truth. And it's trying to give that full 360 view, you know, how was I really behaving then, you know? I wasn't an angel. So you have to make peace with the fact that people are going to read this and they may not like you and they may think you're whining or they may not relate to you. And when I first read Eat, Pray, Love, you know, the first time I was 25 years old, I had two kids at the time, and I was breastfeeding, and one child was in the tub, and I'm balancing this book. And I was like, how dare this woman write this book? You know, where does she get off, taken off for a year of her life? Like, I can't do that, so how am I supposed to find myself? This isn't helping me. And so it was really funny. I got really mad at Liz Gilbert. Now I absolutely adore her. I read the book many years later when all three of my children were grown and fell in love with it and all of her work. And so that's what I learned, was that, you know, you're always going to have a critic. And when you write, you have to write for you and for no one else. You can't write with the hope that this is going to sell. Writers do not make a lot of money unless you get to J.K. Rowling or Liz Gilbert status. But even then, you know, it's for the love of the craft. And that's really what I feel that I learned, was that I love this so much. It's, writing is in my bones. And getting that view of everybody that's involved in a situation and saying, well, you know, I did have an affair with a married man, but I participated fully in that. And I still regret it, and I'm deeply sorry to everybody that was involved in that situation, but I wouldn't have ended up with my oldest daughter. And so there's, you know, it's a really great way to see the perspective in your life, that everything that can seem like a mistake is an opportunity to learn and grow yourself. And when you're writing, you know, it's even more so.
So for you, is writing part of your therapy, part of your healing?
Oh, absolutely. I feel writing and music for me are very similar, and that I can't live without them. if somebody put me on a desert island and said, you can't write and you can't listen to music, I would just lay on the beach and wait for the waves to take me away, I think. So
yeah,
it's just, for me, I find it gives me such a great perspective to write and then come back and read it and go, you know, that's how I felt in the moment of anger or hurt or excitement. And now, you know, you can look back at some funny memories that you wrote down and how you perceive them compared to how you remember them when you write them down later, mm-hmm. and go back to fact check. So mm-hmm. I was really grateful that I had journals dating back to like grade 2.
Wow, that's a lot.
Reference.
I mean, I mean, mine go back to college, so you know, not quite that long. But I do, when I look back at the journals that I've written on, I think, do I, you know, that, you know, I really believe that stuff then? And then I think, do I still believe some of that stuff that I wrote there? So it is, you know, journaling does give us perspective. So that's why I always recommend that if someone wants to be a professional writer, that they first write for themselves. And I've also found that for me, that everything is a writing prompt. Is that something that you've experienced as well?
For like
a writing prompt, that everything that happens in your life is a writing prompt.
Oh my gosh, I have this amazing app I love, and I think, and no matter where I am, when inspiration hits, I can record a little voice memo or type out a little something and save it in there, and it downloads to my home laptop as well. And then you can always look for blog ideas. You know, I think being out in nature is the best therapy and the best muse for any writer. I find I get so many ideas, and even going to parties, you know, there's a lot of stuff that happens, you know, and friends, you know, will sit around and joke about funny blog titles, but they end up being really popular viral posts because you're laughing and having fun, and it just comes. It comes when it comes, so you have to just write it down and just make sure that you stay inspired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and your inspiration inspires other people. I think that's one of the most rewarding things that I found about being a writer, that, you know, people, it's relatable. You know, if you write from the heart, if you write, even if their experience is not directly the same as yours, then it touches other people. So, you know,
absolutely.
It's an honor. I think it really is an honor to do that. Yeah. So what are what are some advice that you have, you know, for authors or wannabe writers that are listening in, what to do if they get discouraged, or how to launch themselves into a career in writing? What are some tidbits of wisdom you have to share?
I think the first thing is to write, just always be writing. And to cultivate your practice every single day. Don't ever be too cocky to think you've learned everything and that your writing is perfect. You always should be taking classes, learning. You should be writing voraciously if you want to read. And I don't believe these people that say, I don't read in my genre because I don't want to, you know, accidentally copy someone. Absolutely not. We're all here to inspire each other. And everybody's copying everybody, essentially. There is original thought at this point in the earth.
So really,
I think it's so incredibly important. And when I meet a writer who says they don't read, I'm like, you are not a writer. Because writers have to read. We need to read, and it fuels us and lights us up just as much as when we're writing. So that would be my main thing. And especially when you get discouraged, and it's going to happen often. I mean, there's times where I have completely broke down. I said, what am I doing this all for? It's such hard work. And I'm, you know, the payout is like nil. But, you know, it's for the moments when you just feel like you're truly living your passion. So, you know, just meet people. Network as much as possible in an authentic way. Don't be phony. But, you know, I went to a writer's conference last year, and a lot of the agents said to me, you know, you have an amazing story, but memoir is getting tougher to sell. Even though it's becoming the most popular genre, it's tougher to sell because everybody thinks they have an amazing story. I believe everybody does have an amazing story. It's just how you tell it. And so they told me to try and build my platform, and I don't want any author or any aspiring writer to get discouraged by this, because I have interviewed people that have gone on to have similar success to New York Times bestsellers, and they have no platform. The thing is to be nice You know, the writing community has been wonderful. I've met amazing people just by reaching out and saying, hey, I'm a writer. I would just love to connect with you and maybe we can chit-chat sometime. I created my show so I could talk to authors and agents and publishers. And, you know, it's been amazing what I've learned. So you should always be learning, always be learning. It's a nonstop process. And just always be kind and share other people's work, because you want to share your own, but you also want to help other people too, because that's what's going to make you memorable, is somebody that's reciprocal and kind and truly cares and authentic about their relationships.
Now, do you recommend that people go to writers' conferences as well?
Absolutely. I think I would say again and again, when I went to the Writer's Digest conference last summer, I learned so much in 3 days, and I met people that have been just so valuable to the process for me, and have said, you know, when the time comes, I will read your work, I'll promote it, you know, we'll feature it. And it just comes from showing up. And, you know, sometimes we tend to be introverts. A lot of writers are introverted and don't want to go to events like this. But I met some of the greatest people there, and I just, You learn everything you need to know from, you know, marketing to publishing, things that you would have no idea, you know, down to, you know, how important it is, the title of your book on the spine, what color it is and how clear it is, things like that you don't think of. You need to know these things. Authors need to know the industry inside and out nowadays. It is not just show up, publish my book and walk away.
And then we forget about the promotional part afterwards, because there are a lot of authors that are kind of shy, I guess is the right word, and, you know, aren't really comfortable being public. And that's where I come in. I'm not shy at all. And I'm guessing, I mean, even though you make it through self-introverted, you got a radio show, for goodness sake. But it is possible to learn to be visible, because you are going to be doing book
Absolutely.
Events, and the book is not going to sell itself. You gotta get it out there. And you got to love the book so much
exactly.
that you're willing to put yourself on the line and be visible and be public about it. So I encourage writers, and if you don't feel comfortable with it, learn, learn how to be, because the book is just it's an extension of ourselves, of our heart and soul. I don't know any author that doesn't put their heart and soul and blood, sweat and tears into their books. And, you know, clearly you do that with your writing and everything that you do.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to reading your memoir when it comes out. How far along are you? Like when do you anticipate?
The memoir is completed. It's in its second draft. And I originally wrote too much. So I had over 200,000 words, and most memoirs between 80 and 100. So I've cut it down, and I'm just doing the final edits before I send it to the agents that requested it at the conference. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to keep putting it out there, because I really believe in the story. I believe it will help other people. I sacrificed so much to get this book out there, and it was worth it. I mean, it cost me dearly with some friendships and family members. But I think when the book actually comes out and they read it, things will shift when they actually see what's happening. It's just fear. There's a lot of fear around people. So that would be another bit of advice I would offer to anyone writing memoir, to keep it quiet. Write the book first, sell it, then tell it. Because people are scared. They're really scared that you're going to write badly about them, or that you're going to share some deep, dark secret. And what I told people when they confronted me with this and they were worried, I said, you know, your secrets are yours and mine are mine. And I'm here to tell my story and your story. I honor anything you've told me in confidence. You know, I'm honored to hold that secret. I'm not here to advertise it for the world. So, you know, I think the best advice is to not share it until you're done, because it has caused some rifts, and definitely there's definitely been some moments with people that I may never have a relationship again, just over something silly, you know, that was written. So, you know, it's just to be very careful with yourself and careful with your words and how you share, you know, what you're writing about until it's ready to be birthed out into the world.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Crystal. I am so delighted that you are on my show and that we got to talk about one of our mutually favorite subjects, writing. I can talk about writing forever, so I appreciate that. So once again, folks, go to Crystal's website, Crystal Lee Quibel, QUIBELL.com. And I wanted to share with you, before I tell you about next week's guest, about something that I'm going to be doing in January of 2017. From the 21st to the 28th, I will be teaching, speaking, healing on Healing Water Holistic Cruise to Tortola, St. Thomas, and a private island in the Bahamas. I'm not quite sure where that is. Good thing I'm not steering the ship. And you can find out about it at www.scott-travel.com. And next week, my guest is Charles Bynum, who's the author of two wonderful books, one called The Other Side of Hell and the other called Sophos. And we're going to be talking about walking a spiritual path and the unexpected detours that we're called on to take. So until next week, I thank you, I bless you, I love you. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us on It's All About Relationships on Vivid Life Radio. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein, asking you the all-important question, what does your vivid life look like? Hoping that it includes fulfilling and thriving relationships in all areas. Until next time, sending you abundant love from here.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.